Today is February 29th, 2012. This is Joey Beauchamp, Graduate Research Assistant at the University of Texas at Austin, H.J. Lucher Stark Center for Physical Culture and Sports, Institute for Olympic Studies. As part of the 1968 U.S. Olympic Team Oral History Project, I am interviewing Pat Bissell over the phone about her experiences in the 1968 Olympic Games in Mexico City. Good afternoon, Ms. Bissell, and you said I could call you Pat, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Pat, why don't we start with your background information that we talked about earlier, like if you want to start us out your childhood a little bit and how you got involved with, I guess it would be the musical aspect of this, and then how that eventually led to being involved with sports.
Okay. My name is Patricia Melcher Bissell. It's my married name. I was born in Niagara Falls, New York, in January 9th, 1937. And I always loved music, and I studied from the time I was about 6 years old. My family moved to West Virginia when I was in high school, and that was quite a culture shock for me back in the 50s. But I learned how to adjust to a new culture at that time. I went to Peabody Conservatory and got degrees in piano and composition. And then I got my master's degree at Yale School of Music, and I had a Fulbright scholarship in Paris from 66 to 67. And it was difficult to find a job after being out of the country for a year, so I taught in public school. And I had a dear friend who had a daughter in gymnastics, and she told me about this position with the gymnastics studio. They're looking for a pianist arranger for the team. And I had never been involved in sports. As a matter of fact, I didn't do very well in high school sports. I skipped class all the time and had a very bad reputation with the teacher. I was not interested in sports at all. But I was interested, I was curious about this, even though I was discouraged by fellow musicians who did not hold sports in high esteem, basically speaking.
Right.
And since I was a composer, I had studied composition, and I could improvise. It sounded very interesting to me, and so I realized that this was a great opportunity. So as I went over to the gym, and I saw this orange piano with broken keys, and I was asked to play something, which I could. And that was in 1968, around, I guess, March or April. And so for several months, I worked with a coach, Muriel Grossfeld, who was a legend in American gymnastic development. And she was a superb coach and very interested in music, and we worked together to edit the arrangements and prepare some for the Olympics in October of that year. So
I think a lot of people, you know, nowadays are so used to having everything pre-recorded, and you don't have, they don't realize back in those times you had to actually have live musicians there.
Oh, yes. I had to arrange a piece of music that would enhance the routine and had to be very clear in the melody and, you know, contrast and register volume and rhythm to support the different movements of the gymnast. I'm reading from the article that I had some passages had to be slow and smooth and others to be fast and strong. And I had to coordinate my music as a performer with the gymnast and be prepared for any you know, problem or whatever.
So you kind of had to play at the same time you were watching their movements?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I did that in 1968 when I played for the American team in Mexico City.
Yeah. Could you share a little bit about that process of how you would work with gymnasts and create the music? Did they have any input into the type of songs or the type, or did you just make stuff up as you...
No, my coach was really a fine artist and also really had chose music that supported the gymnast move. In other words, if they were better in ballet or, you know, movement, that you would use a different kind of music. But you had to have the rhythms and the melodic lines very clear, you know, for example, a tumbling pass.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be, it's just like a movie music, you know, it had to support that movement, but you only have 90 seconds.
Right.
So it was, you know, it was challenging to get the music to sound good on the piano, especially. Later on, they used tapes so they could use orchestra or band, and that was much better suited to the gymnasium.
Right.
Because the piano doesn't record, you know, it doesn't sound that well in a large gymnasium.
Uh-huh.
But that's what they did in 68.
And
72.
So I'm guessing all the music then was all original that you had to come up with, compose?
I can't remember now, but I did a lot of editing, I remember, and I did some new music. I don't quite remember. It's been so long ago.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you took, like, a famous musical piece and would just, chop it up and put it in
there
with your
stuff? Well, we did.
Or?
I don't quite remember this for 68 because I didn't have a whole lot of time. I had a few months.
Uh-huh.
But in 72, we used the summer of 42 theme.
Okay.
For the compulsory, because it was a slow, a lovely melody, and when the girls did these ballet-like or slower movements, it made them look very smooth.
Right. Did you have to have a separate piece of music for each individual girl?
Yes, I did.
And how was that trying to remember all those things? Or were they pretty much written out already?
Practice.
Yeah.
I wrote it out.
Yeah, that I imagine would be tricky.
I wrote it out, and just like being an athlete or any, you know, in any sport, it was required a tremendous amount of time to coordinate, to produce the music, to coordinate with them, and then to practice.
Now, was this sounds like you said, a lot of time involved. Was this a full-time position, or
No.
were you being paid, or was
No.
this all volunteer?
No. I was paid, I don't remember when I started being paid for each arrangement, but basically I'm used to putting a lot of time in my project.
Uh-huh.
Since I'm a creative musician.
Uh-huh.
So this was interesting to me because I could do something useful.
Right. Now, during that time period, you were putting so much effort in. Were you working to support yourself? Were you doing another job?
Well, I was in public school, and then they allowed me out for 2 months.
Okay.
I had a new job at some school, and they allowed me to go for 2 months, and I think I borrowed some money.
Okay.
Probably from my parents. I don't remember.
Yeah. Now, were you considered an official part of the team? Like, did they give you uniforms or anything
like
that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I just had my slides developed.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes, I had a uniform. I got a suitcase. I got everything that the team members did.
That's pretty neat.
And I was invited to everything that the team members went to in Mexico City.
Uh-huh.
I lived in the the Olympic Village.
Right. Okay, so getting close to the Olympic Games, did the gymnasts have to go off to any special training facilities right
yes.
before they left?
At Lake Tahoe.
Oh, yeah, I'm from that area. I grew up in Reno.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I'm familiar with
beautiful,
it.
Beautiful, beautiful place.
Yes, it is. Did you go with them? I'm
taking oh, yes.
it in, yeah. Okay.
I was with them the whole time. I spent all my hours in the gym.
Right, right,
sometimes,
okay.
Sometimes maybe up to 10 hours. I'm not sure. I can't recollect, but I remember that this is just like being at the music school and practicing, preparing for a recital.
Right.
I was trained to perform
uh-huh.
in music. I always loved it, and I wanted to be the best that I could be, so I practiced, we used to practice 4 to 5 hours a day.
Right. When you were, do you recollect that they chose Tahoe because of the altitude, because Mexico City was going to be at altitude?
I believe so, okay.
Okay.
I believe that.
Right. Okay. That would make sense. Okay, so you finished the training at Lake Tahoe, and then where did you guys go from there? Did you fly to Mexico City with the team, or how did that work?
I don't remember the exact sequence. I know we were at Long Beach. I think that was for the trials.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that. But I know we went to Denver, Colorado at some point, and I cannot remember exactly what that was for.
That brings up a good point. So had the team already been chosen when you started playing, or did you also help, were you there when they competed to see who was going to be on the team?
As far as I can remember, Joey, okay,
yeah.
It's been a long time.
Uh-huh.
I think they finalized the decision in Long Beach, but I'm not certain about this.
Okay? Gotcha.
I can't say for sure.
No, that's okay. I was just curious. All right. So then you, did you know if you flew with the team to Mexico City?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And what were your impressions of heading down there? Were you, you know, the excitement building?
Oh, it was very exciting for me. Well, luckily, I'd been in Europe a year, so I had been in a different culture, too. But it was the first time I had been out of the music world as far as working or anything. So it was a whole new adventure for me.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoyed meeting the athletes. I saw a volleyball game when they were, practicing in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
And the people that ran 20 miles in the morning.
Right.
And I don't think I could run half a mile.
Right.
And it was very interesting and adventuresome and exciting to meet all these people in the sports world.
When you flew down to Mexico City, before the games, or was it pretty close to the start of the games?
No, it was before the games.
Uh-huh. And at the time, you've mentioned in one of your writings, I think you talked about the upheaval going on in the world. And
yes.
Did you at that time hear about any of the massacres going on in Mexico City?
I think I vaguely heard about that. I don't quite remember that, but I know because I was in Europe, in the demonstrations against the Vietnam War.
Right.
And as I said in my article, that we were surrounded by students, with all the student upheavals and so on around the world at that time. We were surrounded. But they told us to just go out, and we did, and there was no incident. And I remember all the military at the final.
Right.
At the final ceremony. I can remember that. Of course, you would have to have the military there at any time, but I'd come from, a very academic world.
Right.
So.
Had prior to the Olympics, and we'll get into this a little bit more later, but with the at this stage when you're still traveling down there, had you heard of any organizing among the team yet of protests or the human rights and
I was with
crew letter or anything?
And I know I was with some basketball players. I'm trying to think whether that was coming back from Mexico or going to Mexico. I'm sorry that I can't remember
exactly. Oh, that's okay.
But I didn't hear, any of these kinds of things because I was with, again, the gymnasts.
Okay. And not much amongst them, not much talk about protests or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
Not that I remember.
Okay. That's fair. So you get down to the games, and you said a little bit about security. You saw a lot of the soldiers, and
well, that was in the ending ceremony.
Did that their presence wasn't felt when you were first there? Then
no, I don't remember them there, but it must have been there.
Okay.
And I was at the. I sat in the bleachers at the opening ceremony.
Okay.
I didn't obviously. I wasn't. Part of the team. I mean, an athlete.
Right, the athlete's walk. All right.
That was one of the most exciting times.
Uh huh.
To see all these athletes from all these different countries.
Right.
That had been Russia had invaded Czechoslovakia that year.
I believe so.
In any case, to see all these people walking together, these beautiful people, I might say, was quite an event for me.
Now, when you first got down there, you mentioned you stayed at the village.
Olympic Village.
Can you tell me a little bit about the village, what your memories are of that area, like mingling with the athletes, the food, things like
you
that?
You have to understand that I was not an athlete, so I didn't look appropriate.
Right.
I was small, short,
uh-huh.
And not too muscular. But I remember, the Russian weightlifter. I mean, seeing these very muscular people, absolutely very beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And I lived with the gymnasts, and then the swimmers were near us. I don't know if they were in the same building or what, but I remember talking to them a lot. And, of course, they invited me to go out swimming.
Yeah.
Which I can't swim very much, so.
Uh-huh.
But And I met Bill Toomey, World Decathlon champion, and I said in my article, Jesse Owens, I happened to talk to at the food court or the cafeteria.
I was going to ask about your food accommodations. You ate in the cafeteria then with the athletes?
Yes.
Okay.
Anything. There was so much food, I couldn't believe it.
Right. What was your room like? Did you have roommates or?
You know, I think I had my own little cot of some kind, my own bed, and I don't remember rooming with any other gymnasts. I think they pretty much stayed to themselves.
Uh-huh.
But you know what, Joy? I can't remember.
That's okay. That's all right. Do you remember much of your conversation with Jesse Owens when you were sitting with him and eating?
No, I don't remember the conversation, but he was just talking to me, you know, what are you doing here? I thought maybe I was a fencer or something,
yeah.
You know. And as I said, I didn't have the appearance of
right.
an athlete. And I just remembered, you know, Jesse Owens, and I said, well, that's the famous Jesse Owens, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure I met a lot of other, very well-known people, and but I didn't recognize their names.
Right. So relationships with teammates, the actual members, did you develop any friendships among the, you said you stayed with mostly gymnasts the whole time.
The gymnasts. No, Joy, we actually had to work very hard most of the time. You know, they were practicing and doing their routines.
Uh-huh.
And I was just an employee, and I worked very well with Miro Grossfeld, the coach.
Right.
I worked with her, and I, you know, that was a close relationship as far as the gymnastic music went.
Okay.
But, and as I said, I was always talking to people, meeting all these different athletes, which is interesting.
Did you get to meet athletes or delegates from other countries much?
Well, yes. I met the piano players.
Okay.
That played in the final, and I met them. And as a matter of fact, I have a picture of myself with them, one from Bulgaria and one from Russia. And I had tuned that piano right before we had to play, and they were very pleased. The Russian pianist asked me for music from my country. So I sent him some folk songs. American folk songs.
Was that after the Olympics you sent that off? Or?
Yes,
yeah.
But he was speaking some English, and I remember sending him some folk songs, and I met a Mexican pianist, and he gave me a book of Mexican songs.
Okay. You know, in the world at that time, the Cold War going on, was that a factor at all in when you talked with these people? Did they talk to you? Did you see any of their handlers around?
Well, I don't think they knew enough English, the Russian pianist that I spoke to.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But I could certainly feel it and hear the athletes talk, especially like the gymnasts and their coaches and so on, that you could feel, you know, that the Eastern Bloc, you know, when their judges were from their countries and they thought, you know, that they didn't know that we could actually get, you know, fair judging.
Uh-huh.
I believe this is what I remember. I may be wrong, but I could feel it in the air, you know, because you would hear them talking about it because they were so superior, you know, the gymnasts from Russia and the Eastern Bloc countries.
Do you want to go ahead and tell me then about, you mentioned the meeting the other pianists and tuning the piano during your event. Do you want to walk us through what your experience was with actually performing at your events?
Yes. Well, first of all, most of my time was spent at the gym
uh-huh.
in preparation. You know, there was a lot of pressure, obviously. All of them are under pressure.
Right.
And I did have some time. I did go see the Fosbury Flop. I did see some track meets. And I went around Mexico City. I did have some time for that, but I remember it was mostly I was in the gym, and we practiced in the final gymnasium, so the gymnasts could get used to it.
Right.
And I could get used to the piano, and that's where I discovered that it was terribly out of tune in one note that was played a lot. So I went and got a wrench and fixed it 3 minutes before I played, because I couldn't see going through the, administrators or whatever. I had to get it done fast.
Were you the one that noticed it was not proper, or had other people just played,
I don't know.
Just used it, or what?
I don't know, but it was really bad, that one key that in the bass where I used a lot. It was low, so I fixed that. And that's when the other pianists were, smiled at me, and the Russian pianist must have spoken some English enough to ask me to send him some folk songs of our country.
Right. So, do you want?
But there was a lot of stress, you know, with the different coaches and their girls doing this, and I had to coordinate that music. With specific timing, and then at the actual performance, you had other events going on at the same time, very distracting. And I had to concentrate. And I had a headache before, but the trainer kind of relaxed me.
Yeah.
I was worried I was going to.
So as you're playing for your events, you could hear people playing for other events in the background?
No, it was parallel bars and vaulting and so on.
So you just hear the athletes playing?
Yes, you hear the athletes. But there were about 30,000 people.
Right.
So that was an experience, yes.
And so, I think I read in your article, the team didn't finish too high.
They didn't win any medals.
Right. So how do you think it went for you and the team? And
oh, it went very well.
Your performance.
The gymnastic background that the Eastern Bloc countries did.
Right.
Where they have the ballet training for a long time. And but it went fine.
How do you feel you did?
Oh, I felt I did fine.
Good.
That's what I remember.
Uh-huh.
I played the music and they did their routines, and not sure everything was 100% coordinated.
Nobody gave you dirty looks after their routine.
No.
That's good.
That I can remember. Now it's been a long time. So.
Yeah. Okay, so you said you got around to some events. Were you around when the Black Power Salute stuff happened in the track meeting?
I heard about that.
It? Yeah?
Okay, and I knew about it, but I did not experience it.
What was the, how did you get the information? Did you see more commotion among athletes? Were they talking about it? Or?
Oh, you heard it. You heard it. I can't remember where I heard it. Whether I read it in the paper, probably they had a newspaper for the Mexico Olympics. That was in the Olympic Village.
Okay.
So I assume that's where I read about it or whatever.
Okay. What were your recollections of media and stuff like that? The world's converging on one place. I'm sure there was a lot of media in that area, too. Did you interact with any of them or see the cameras or people being interviewed? What was that like?
No, it's just... I don't remember. Of course, they weren't interested in me particularly.
Right, but you're around all the Olympians and you're.
Oh yes, I don't remember the media particularly.
Uh huh.
But I was in, as I said, I was practicing. I was working in the gym, so I didn't see. I saw some of the events. Obviously, I saw some track, and there were some media people there. But I don't remember them.
Right. Okay. Now. You mentioned Fosbury. Did you get to see his?
Yes, I did.
His whole event and the,
yes.
How did he perform that year? Do you remember?
The Fosbury flop.
Yeah, did he win a?
That's what people told me. Oh, this was unusual. So I learned that.
Okay.
And that's what I remember.
Do you remember watching it through its conclusion, like how he did in the event, or just?
I was too far away.
Okay. All right. And what else, are there anything else you want to tell us about from the Olympic experience before we talk about, the closing ceremony? You said you interacted some with the locals at all?
Oh, yes. I found that the Mexican people were absolutely wonderful in welcoming us. And even me, they wanted our name and write our name down. And, that was a nice feeling.
Did you get to go? I thought you said you got to do some sightseeing. Was was that in your allowable in your time you had?
To go somewhere?
Yeah, go sightseeing, go see.
Yes, I did once. I saw the pyramid.
Okay.
I didn't know if there were more than one pyramid. And I saw a little bit of the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And
Who would go with you on those trips?
Oh, I just went on a tour.
You just signed up for a local? Or?
Yes, I found the athletes were just so pressured.
Right.
You know, that whereas I love to travel, so I took some time out and did that. But most of my time was in the gym.
Okay.
That I remember.
All right, so we're up to the closing ceremonies now. Do you remember much of that happening?
No, it's just, I told you, just the military presence. And then, as I said, as we left the American house there, where we stayed, you know, that we were surrounded by students from Mexico.
Okay.
And that was a little frightening.
Okay. Now, when you say frightening, was your, did you ever fear for your safety, or?
Yes, a little bit.
In what way? What was?
Well, they were surrounding the, where the American athletes were staying.
The students, you
mean? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the soldiers helped you guys get through the crowds, or how did that
work? Well, they were spread out. I just remember that feeling, you know. It's like in New Haven with the Bobby Seale trial, mm-hmm. 1970, you know, that, well, the National Guard was here. But, no, they told us just, I think a couple of the coaches told us just to walk out, and we did.
Okay.
We were probably not in any danger, but I had never experienced something like this.
Now, I didn't ask this earlier. Were you there by yourself, or did any family get to come down with you?
Oh, no. I was there by myself.
Okay. All right.
Yes, my mother had been very ill.
Okay.
And
all right. So before I move on to what you experienced after the Olympics, how did the 68 Olympic Games, what do you think their importance was for the world at that time, or even nowadays? Do you think there was any impact, like, on your life? I think it...
Oh, yes. It impacted my life, and I didn't realize it at the time, but was the most significant. I think it was one of the greatest experiences in my life, because all of a sudden I became aware of the importance of sports to, as you said, for world peace. But it's like music. All people participate in it.
Right, so they have a common connection.
That's right, and that's the article, the second article I'm writing.
Uh-huh.
I had to keep my first article down to about 500 words, so the second article is a little longer, and it'll be part of hopefully in a journal.
Okay.
That describes, you know, I compare gymnastics, and I use baseball, too, and music, sports in general.
Uh-huh. So if you... With what involvement you did have in those Olympic Games, would you have any advice for anybody who wanted to be part of that Olympics? Let's say, I mean, you got, whether you were an athlete or not, you certainly put in a lot of hard work, and you obviously witnessed a lot of hard work. Advice would you give to non-athletes and athletes if they were trying to pursue that goal of Olympic participation?
Well, you know, I'm an achiever. I've always, you know, strived to be my best. And I would recommend it to anybody because it's a wonderful sense of accomplishment, whether how far you go.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn to be with other people, communicate, and you have experiences that you wouldn't otherwise if you just, you know, didn't do it.
Right. So it's almost like the pursuit is...
The pursuit is... For me, it was always that way, you know. I never cared for performing as such. I did, but the pursuit of it was always exciting, and, uh-huh. And I love music as a sports person loves their sports.
Yeah, so you guys can relate in that sense, that your passion for what you do.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the same, you know, and especially I became involved and looked at different kinds of music, and I don't know if you know, when you study music, you study European classical music. I did.
Uh-huh.
I think they're broader now. They do have some jazz programs.
Right.
But it's quite strict, in classical music, academic music, and all of a sudden I really began to learn all this other music and rock. Even after rock came in the 50s, you know.
Yeah.
But I had an attitude about it like I did about sports, and all of a sudden I realized this music is beautiful, you know, my own country's music.
So that was through your experience with the Olympics
that
opened up to you?
Yes.
Okay.
I began to get into all kinds of music, and I mean, I'm versatile. I was versatile as a pianist, I could play different styles, but I was not interested in rock and jazz, but I became much very interested in all these styles of music, and I incorporated them into my teaching.
Now, I'm going to kind of play off that statement you just made with your experiences after 68. You mentioned you continued to help arrange stuff for this.
Yes, I continued to teach, my job in public schools to support myself, but I continued to do arranging, and I was paid for an arrangement.
And this is specifically for the Olympic teams? Or?
Well, for the girls that were, competing here in New Haven. I'm out of New Haven.
Okay.
And they were competing for just state meets, I remember I played for a national meet, I think, in Las Vegas once. I can't quite remember, but I did for about 6 years.
And now, I played off that last statement. What I was going to ask is, did you incorporate more of this new music you were now open to into those pieces, or did you just have to stick with classical?
Yes, they weren't used, I don't think, maybe in the world championships. But, yes, I tried to use much more, like, Broadway themes or pop tunes and more rhythms that were interesting. You know, just a variety of things. But I was open to all this. So, working with all this different music really opened my ears and eyes to being an eclectic music teacher.
Now, you may not know the answer to this one, but I was thinking, what were most gymnasts at the time using for music? Like, especially like the Eastern Bloc countries, were they sticking mostly with classical stuff? When you interject all these new styles, had that been done before?
Yes, well, at that time, I think, as I remember, some American coaches wanted, this classical music, but the Europeans used American music a lot of times. If I remember this correctly, off and on I would hear, they would, especially, I think later on when I heard in the skating too, they would use, more American type jazz or rock or soul.
Uh-huh.
I'm just making a general statement. But I remember that they were, that the Eastern Bloc girls had very nice music. And the music, was the last consideration, because after all, it's only 90 seconds. It's not like the skating.
Uh-huh.
So it's difficult to, really get something really significant in that 90 seconds that's powerful.
Right.
Especially in a gymnasium. But anyways, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed creating these arrangements, and I finally arranged the music for the compulsory for Munich in 1972. It was based on a summer of 42.
Uh-huh.
And I worked with three coaches for quite a number of weeks to perfect this music so it was flowing and smooth. So they liked it very much.
So you worked up until that point with them. What
Yes.
prevented you from going on to Munich with the team?
Well, there were other things going on that year. I was getting married, for one thing. And so they took my music, and they had another pianist from the West go.
Okay.
And there was some disagreement about who was going to go. And as I said, I was getting married.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyways, I'd had my opportunity. And after that, then they started using tapes of recorded music, which is much better.
Right.
They could use instrumental instruments and for the acoustics in a gymnasium, it was much better.
I was going to ask, was it 72 they still used piano?
Yes.
Okay, and then about what?
I don't know when they started using tapes because I was not involved in it after that time.
Okay.
I had a daughter, I was raising a family, I was teaching, and I was running a music studio.
Okay. Do you still follow the Olympics when they're on now?
Oh, sure.
Do you follow the music pretty closely then?
Yes, I like to listen to see what they're doing. Now, I noticed on the internet that there's a man that does arranging using jazz, a lot of jazz and rock bands and so on. And I had read something about he was a little disappointed that I guess none of the arrangements that he had made happened to make it to the Olympics. But he was saying that, you know, he wasn't very pleased with the music. So a lot of the coaches don't care that much.
Uh-huh.
About the music. I was fortunate in that my coach really cared about the music.
Right.
So that's what challenged me. I'm not saying all coaches are like this, but I'm just saying because of the nature of the 90-second music, you know, some coaches are more interested in it than others.
I understand. All right, Pat. Well, that's most of the questions that I had for you. I was going to give you a moment if you had anything you can remember now that you forgot to add in there or any things we forgot to go over that you'd like to add.
Well, I think I've told you all the little stories. I mean, there were other stories, but little incidents, but, they weren't significant, you know.
Well, if you feel like sharing them, you're more than welcome to.
Well, no, I think I've said everything.
Okay.
Basically, and it was an enjoyable number of years I enjoyed arranging the music. I made a recording in New York City. I think this was in 69. I made it with Mira Grossfeld, a recording for gymnastic, you know, warm-ups and so on. And that was good. I enjoyed doing that.
All right.